Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Yvonne Kay here with the podcast, How the Hell Did I Get Here From There? And of course, as you know, my guests have to answer that question because the reason I have them, not only in my opinion, are they the best of the best and brilliant people, loving, caring people, but they can be reached. And that's very, very important because, as I say every week, it bears repeating. That people can talk to very well-known people who have wonderful messages, and then you can't reach them if you want to ask questions or whatever. So my guests are all reachable, every one of them. So just before we get started with my guests today, I'll give you my information, which is my website, which is simply yvonnekaywisdom.com, Y-V-O-N-N-E-K-A-Y-E. wisdom.com, and it has all the information about me, how to reach me. It has the list of all the podcasts, and it's the simplest way of getting all of them. So it's very powerful, and I want you to be able to, if you have a pen and paper or something ready for when my guest gives you his information, because it will be very valid, I can assure you. Also, my incredible producer, Lisa Graham, her website is lgrahamauthor.com, and that's lgrahamauthor.com. As you know, she's an author and just published two new books. So it's well to look for her. And I would say, in all honesty, I couldn't do this podcast without her. Really couldn't. She's a powerful source of strength and support, and I'm very grateful. I've known my guest today for a very, very long time, and I've had the privilege of working with him over the years, quite remarkable things that he does, and he is going to talk about his magic. His name is Tom Stecker, and I believe I'm right in saying Tom Stecker and Associates, but he will tell you. So welcome, Tom. It's so good to have you here.
I am thrilled to be with you, my friend. It's just a total joy on my behalf. I can't wait for our conversation. Folks can reach me. My website is www.tomstecker.com. That's TOMSTECHER.com.
And that has all your information on that?
That has all of my information there, yes.
Okay. So, Tom, tell us about you and what you're doing today. How the hell did you get there? And certainly, I'm not going to let you go without talking about your phenomenal family also. We need to know about them. So tell us, Tom Stecker and Associates, what is that? Who is that?
Well, that is a national consulting group of people. And you and I have worked together on many occasions. My passion, my interest, my heart and soul are focused on education.
Nice.
Helping teachers, helping administrators, helping children, helping parents. And still to this day, one of the greatest joys of my life is listening to and learning from children, particularly those who are young adults and coming into some degree of their wisdom. And I love listening to them. I also love kind of stoking their fire, helping them see the power that they have in their lives. And all that began for me with my kindergarten teacher.
Oh, how so?
I went to school in a little K-8 building, little brick building in a place called Burlington, New Jersey, where we grew corn. I grew up on my grandfather's corn farm. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember exactly what happened, but the first couple days of school, I went to a Catholic school and there was a nun. And of course, you remember, Yvonne, all you could see was their eyes and their nose. Yeah. And their chin. They didn't even have ears.
Right.
And I didn't know, growing up on a family farm, I didn't know other human beings existed until I went to school. And so I will tell you, I was scared to death. and I ran away at the first day of school. And then somehow, I do not know how, within a week or two, my mom became the kindergarten teacher. And so one of the hows on how I got there from here is love, unconditional love. And that was my mom.
Talk more about that, Tom, more about unconditional love. I'm talking about all the time.
Well, I watched my mom certainly love me all the time. Mm-hmm. And I watched her love 21 other five-year-olds. And I didn't feel a lack. I was getting everything I need.
Wow, wonderful.
And I watched this unfold every single day in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And then of course I watched it unfold in my home on the farm.
Of course.
And that was balanced out with my dad. Mm-hmm. And I love my dad. I still have a picture back in the office here. My mom lived to 89. My dad lived to 93. Wow. So I've got pretty good genetics. Mm-hmm. And dad was a hard-working German man. Stecker. That's Stecker. German.
Yeah.
That's German. Mm-hmm. Mom was Polish. And she was all about love, as I said. And he worked at a place called Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing in Bristol, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
And he was a maintenance foreman. One day he came home. I'll never forget the day. I was 16 years old. My older sister was then in college. I think Joanne is 5 years older than me. And my younger brother was an infant at that time. He was 12 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. And he was real. My dad was quiet. And you know, my mom, his name is Hobie. And my mom said, "Hobes, everything okay?" And he looked at my mom. He looked at all three of his children. He looked back at my mom and he said, "No, it's not okay." I'm waiting for the shoe to drop. Like, what, you know, what's going on? He said, "I don't want to do this anymore." Mm. And he looked at my mom and he pointed at her. He said, "I want to do what you do. I want to make a difference."
Oh.
Boom. All the stars aligned for me, Yvonne.
Talk about DNA.
I was 16 years old, and it was one of those rare moments when I was paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, "What? You know, wow." And my sister went on to be an educator, and she just retired this summer from being a superintendent in education. Mm-hmm. My younger brother is an eighth grade teacher in New Jersey. The whole extended family are educators. And I taught for a while at high school, and I was a counselor for a while. And I was in that first world, as you have been brilliantly in that world of the addictions and mental health.
Right.
And I always felt called.
Mm.
I always followed that still small voice inside of me.
Right. Right.
Which is kind of my spiritual Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah. You know, I'm sitting here with this huge smile on my face to the point that my cheeks are beginning to ache. But ever since I saw your face, I've had this great big smile on my face because I know that what you do matters. And I can remember when I think we were in California that we did the student assistance programs. I remember that and how effective. Yes. They were at that time of so timely and how the people who sponsored you just were there amazingly, those people. And the whole thing was multifaceted. And when I think of you and your work, even though you say it's education, I think it's multifaceted with all the things.
Well, thank you for that. And I feel... Now at 70 years old, I feel called to do more and you know, really whoever wants to listen. And Yvonne knows, and I'll share with our listeners, a year ago now, I had major heart surgery. and I had a quadruple bypass, and I was on a machine. My heart was on a machine. My lungs were on a machine. And 6.5 hours later, I woke up, and there was my beloved wife, Sandra, there. And I will tell you, Yvonne, as I got ready to go into that surgery, I was not sure I was coming back.
I understand that.
Now, Sandra was sure. she was absolutely sure.
Yeah.
And so ever that afternoon, I began writing in a journal that my dear friend, Abby Morgan, who coordinates all of our work across the country, gave me. And she said, write everything down that you're experiencing.
Yes.
And so I wrote every day for almost a year.
Wonderful.
And just recently, I put that writing into an audiobook.
Oh.
And I've actually asked Abby to send you a copy.
Good.
Or send you the link, however they do it. Lisa knows how to do it. I don't know how to do it. And I wanted it in an audiobook because I wanted my voice.
Yep.
I wanted my voice. And it, that experience brought me to wanting to share even more authentically, even more transparently than I ever have before. Mm-hmm. And I want to share that not only with my education world, but with whomever wants to listen.
I think that's remarkable. And you know, it's strange that you and I are on the same page, because I don't want to be a therapist anymore. I want to share my life with people because it's been so colorful. And so I can't believe I was 18 when you were born. That's terrible.
No, oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. We've always been a great pair.
Oh my. But what I was hearing from you, I write to John every day, and I've been writing my life story for about 10 years. So I haven't quite got there yet. And my son said to me, why didn't you just write a book about John?
Mm, yes. Yes.
Why not? Your unexpected gift. Why not?
Yes.
And so I'm thinking about doing that. But also I wanted to put my books on audio. Also, I was thinking of doing that because I want my voice heard, people who happen to like my voice, so maybe I could do something with that. But I can't wait to hear yours, because I know a lot about you that I want other people to know. And so when you think about what you're doing today with education, how is it that other people could tap into that?
So they can tap into it in many ways. So we are in schools whenever we're invited to be in schools. And now, you know, we've chatted about this before. Schools are under attack.
They certainly are.
And that is, you know, that's not dramatic on my part. That's reality. I have, like yourself, you know, folks who have their doctorate, they're in the back of the school board meeting policing a crowd. And you know, forgive me, I'm going to be completely transparent because I don't know how to do anything else at this point in my life. Good. You know, some of those people that are screaming and yelling are just there to just scream and yell.
Yep.
They don't know anything about education. And they actually, what I've hearing in some school board meetings, people are coming in from outside of the area just to raise hell.
You know, my Daniel is now doing his third term on the school board.
It's incredible.
The stories he tells me are just, to use my own country's phrase, I'm gobsmacked.
Yes.
And I hear these people, and I've come to the conclusion that they're just there to vent their own lousy self-image and their own anger against themselves that they can't do anything about. And somebody from outside, somebody who was running for office, I believe, for a totally different county, wrote to the school board and said, I have 20 strong men and we are going to come to your meeting with tape and God knows what. But anyway, someone reported him and he backed off. But what kind of craziness are we looking at today, Tom?
Well, they, you know, that incredible hatred, I'm not going to call it anger because anger is valid.
Mm-hmm.
But the hatred was invited out of the closet a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that I encounter when I'm working with teachers in professional development, when I'm working with students in what we refer to Student Voice Day, because we want to invite their voices.
Yes.
What I encounter is educators and students, they want to heal. Particularly students want to bring people together.
Yes, they do.
Students want to be heard and they want to listen.
Mm-hmm.
There's very, very little hatred in the young adolescent.
True.
Right now.
I, like you, I know a lot of teachers, and they say, let's say, for example, this thing about masks. They say the students don't care.
Mm-mm.
They don't wear masks. They don't care.
Yeah.
It's the parents.
I've been in schools every day last week, and I'll be in schools starting tomorrow every day, and everybody will have their mask on and everybody's okay.
Exactly.
They'll take it off for a sip of water. They'll take it off to eat their sandwich and they'll put their mask back on. Everybody's okay.
Okay.
One lovely thing at the school I'm going to tomorrow, they invite at lunchtime, they invite their students to go take a walk around the building outside.
Very good.
Isn't that beautifully humane?
Yeah. Well, maybe it's time you and I need to think of taking this on the road to parents.
Well, now,
maybe we better start educating. We're both parents.
Yes.
We both have special needs in our family. We know all about that.
Yes.
And I really think that the parents truly need educating. I really do.
I agree. So yes to that. let's take this on the road and let's maybe ask our dear friend Lisa to help us with that.
Yes.
So social emotional learning, emotional quotient, and also this concept called adversity quotient, which is all about resiliency. And your life has been a portrait of resiliency.
Yes.
From your childhood until today. These are all pieces that we need to bring into our children's lives, into the lives of the educators, and also into their parents' lives.
Yep, definitely.
Because we know that parents, no matter how much pain they might be in, if we scratch deep enough, we know that they love their kids.
They do. Most of them.
Unless there's some severe mental health issue, they love their children.
Right.
And so we need to tap back into that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned Nicholas in your family, and we know Ashley in my family, special needs. One of the things that I have, Ashley's 38 now.
Yeah, she's Courtney's age.
Yes, which we know for your grandson and my daughter is miraculous.
He's 27, yeah.
I live with a miracle every single day. And I'll trace that back to love. And love started me on this journey, and love has taught me more. So my daughter, for our listeners, is 38 years old. She is developmentally 2 months old. So I'm going to let you pause and think about that for a minute, listeners.
Mm-hmm.
She is diapered every day, multiple times.
Right.
So think of the saint that my wife is. Mm-hmm. She is tube fed.
Oh, she's on tube fed now. I didn't know that.
She cannot swallow anything.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's been a while. That's been life-saving, Yvonne.
Right.
Because her food was coming back into her lungs.
Mm.
So it's prevented many pneumonias. She needs oxygen and a percussion treatment every morning and every evening. If she is ill, she's on oxygen all day long. But right now, thank God, she's very, very healthy. And for all my friends who are reluctant to get the vaccine, my daughter and I and my wife have been vaccinated 3 times now.
Have you? Yeah, me too.
And with no adverse effects, you simply do what you have to do because we're human beings that live in a society and we need to connect with each other and help each other and love each other. So my daughter, who cannot speak and cannot move, teaches me unconditional love every single day.
Yes, she does.
Every single day. My core values are love and commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I married to this exquisite woman named Sandra, 43 years of marriage now.
Wow.
And every day when I leave to go serve a school, she'll say one of two things. Now, I've been leaving for 43 years.
Yeah, right.
And she says either make a difference today.
Yeah.
Or she'll say touch someone's life.
And you do.
So that's like that. That's my charge.
Yep.
That's my charge. I'm charged with that. That's my responsibility.
Yes.
That's my commitment. And I'm blessed. As you know, I'm blessed.
Well, Nicholas is the same. He has to be diapered also, and he doesn't speak. And Michelle just sent me a picture of him today because he had one of these big growths on the side of his head, and he just had it removed. My goodness, what a handsome young man he is. I had no idea. And the other thing about you and my family is that when AJ came to your camp when he was, what, 15 years old, my grandson?
Yes, he was.
Who is now my dad, yes. Incidentally.
Yes.
It just changed his life.
Hmm.
Absolutely changed his life.
I'm overjoyed for AJ. I know he's married to a wonderful young lady and they have a child now. Is it a little boy or a little girl? I forgot.
The girl, Blake.
Little girl, beautiful, beautiful. And he's a wonderful, wonderful young man. And he's also hilarious.
Oh my God. All my family have got this terrible dark humor. And, you know, when my four were young and we would go out to dinner, I used to say to the server, could you put me at another table, please? I'll sit with this four. And they're all, and the grandchildren have developed that same humor.
It's fantastic.
And your younger son's a bit of a miracle too, isn't he?
Yes, he is. My youngest is 35 now.
Mm-hmm.
He is completely dyslexic. So I'm looking here at the chat feature that our dear friend Lisa told me how to use, and I'm seeing Lisa's typing. And if Christian were here, that would mean absolutely nothing to him. He has multiple degrees. I forget how many. Two associate's degrees, a bachelor's degree from Drexel University in engineering, and he has a master's degree in social emotional learning.
Amazing.
And he is that hands-on, tactile, kinesthetic learner. So I remember way back when we had a hot tub right out the back door. We don't have it anymore. But I used to go there to ease my aches and pains. And when it would break, I, of course, being the old high school English teacher, would go and get the instruction book. By the time I finished reading, he had torn it apart, put it back together, and was sitting in the hot tub.
Oh, my. So you have three altogether, three wonderful children.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
And so, and you understand special needs in all its multitude of explanations. So it's so many multifaceted. And you, of course, that helps, I would believe, all the hundreds and thousands of people that you've reached to understand this.
So Yvonne, you've just hit on something that I think is critically important for all of us to understand. So my children and your Nicholas have been identified as having special needs. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
What I've come to learn, we all have special needs.
Oh, indeed we do.
On any given day, every single human being has a special need. So if we can see each other from that perspective, if we can listen to each other from that perspective, maybe some of the hate can dissipate.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yes, it would. Yes, it would.
You know what saddens me, Tom, is that people don't understand when history repeats itself.
Yeah.
And everything that's going on, the hatred you mentioned in the world, actually, I lived through that.
I know you did.
And I see it happening again and again. And people say, oh, no, really, that was a long time ago. Really? Well, it's very much alive and well today, I'm sad to say. So I attack that, I must say. You know, that's one thing, ripening my years. See, I'm not aging, I'm ripening, yes. I'm weathering, I'm marinating, whatever. I have a loose tongue.
I love the marinating.
Whatever. It just comes out. And I have to tell you, Tom, that I think that Lisa is jumping all over her seat with just about every word that's coming out of your, look at that, coming out of your mouth. Because she believes absolutely in everything that you're saying, as do I. And I want to get that message to other people, because I believe a lot of these people who are hated feel lost.
Yes.
They don't know what to do.
Yes.
So they need direction, guidance, something.
One, I'd love your thought on this. One of my learnings in my life is hatred really is fear.
Yes, it is.
Although, particularly in this country, we give permission for hate, but we don't give permission for fear.
That's very true. And I would hate to be sexist, but I think men suffer with it even more than women do.
Truth. Absolute truth.
Although, I have to admit, being a feminist, yeah, when it comes out of a woman's mouth, I feel I want to just go and shake her.
Yeah. And so, you know, we come back to what can we do? And I want to take you back to one of your primary mentors and a man that I quote all the time, Dr. Viktor Frankl.
Oh, yes.
Frankl, if I can remember the quote that I love so much, he talked about responsibility. Responsibility in the ability to respond.
That's right.
To whatever life is throwing at us. And here is Frankl sitting in Auschwitz.
Right.
Daring to think that.
Yep.
To think about the ability to respond, that he actually had a choice.
That's what his whole book was about, choice.
Yes. Yes.
I believe. And I always tell that story, my favorite story, which you would really, really get. I use it a lot, was when he was laying tracks in Auschwitz and it was bitterly cold and he had no shoes and his gloves and his skin was sticking to the steel because it was so cold. Mm. And a little bird flew down and landed on the tracks and looked up into his eyes, and he chose to believe that was the soul and spirit of his wife.
Yes.
He could have said it's just a bird.
Yes.
But he didn't.
No.
And that one example hit my heart so hard.
Yes.
And the other thing is that he says people make conscious decisions on the way they feel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
I first read that. I didn't know I had that.
Yeah.
Now I do. Yeah. Now I do. So when you look at the future, you look at what you do with the miracles you perform, and I know you don't really like that description, but that's what I see.
Thank you.
Where do you want to take it?
Well, one of my dreams that I pull in anybody that will be willing to help me with this dream, I want to see every school in America devoted to social and emotional learning and growth as much as it is devoted to math and science, language arts, and social studies.
Absolutely.
So the development of the full and whole human being. I want to see that happen, and I believe it can happen. And I believe, you know, the work of Frankl, the work of many people in social emotional learning, the work in resiliency, Daniel Goleman's work in emotional intelligence, all that needs to be brought into schools. And that's what I'm working on every day right now. And so that's my primary objective. And the second piece is to, as you and I have chatted about now and previously, let's find other mechanisms for me, rather than traveling all over the country, which doesn't serve my body well anymore, find other means like the talented Miss Lisa Graham.
Yes.
And other resources to get the message out.
Yep.
Around wholeness and health, and knowing that we are. Well, here's something that came from a woman who's steeped in neuroscience that I love. I asked her one day, probably about 6 months ago, as schools were really in the thick of the pandemic, not knowing if they could go back in person, not knowing if it was going to be masks for years.
Right.
And I said, Julia, tell me, if you had one thing you would want to tell a school as school opened up this year, what would it be? And she didn't even pause. She said, Tom, from a neuroscience point of view, please help schools understand We are feeling brains that think. We are not thinking brains that feel.
Love it.
And it was one of those moments I wanted to say, hallelujah.
I agree. That's magnificent. Now, you also mentioned that you have something, I may not have got this correctly, you have something like a round table.
Yes, we have been doing it throughout the pandemic, and we'll start again very, very shortly. So imagine, if you will, virtually through a Zoom meeting, we put a topic out there and open it up to anybody who wants to join us. Certainly educators are our first audience, but anybody who wants to join us. And for example, the topic that we're going to be coming up, probably in December, is diversity, equity, inclusion, and access.
Good.
And we're going to be inviting some retired superintendents to join us, as helping me make that presentation. But anybody who wants to join us, and really all we do, Yvonne, is put some kind of thought conversations out there and put people in breakout rooms and conversation environments. And we come back and we talk together.
Perfect.
And it's about an hour.
Lovely.
And being an old teacher, I always leave people with homework.
I bet you do. I do that too.
Yeah, we have to. Is my grandfather used to tell, I'd be out there in the corn farm with him, and I'd be picking corn, and I'd probably be grumbling as a little boy or a teenager. And he would say, son, as long as you're breathing, there's work to do.
I hear you. It's so true.
And I mistakenly thought he meant picking corn. he was way beyond that.
I'm sure. What wisdom. What wisdom, though, really.
Here you are in your 80s, and it's so important that you keep teaching.
Yes.
It's so important that I keep teaching. And it's so important that we keep listening to each other, no matter what age we are.
Very true. You know, I had a wonderful experience in Upper Perkiomen School District a couple of years ago, before the pandemic. And I have a friend there who was a student of yours, Lee Militello.
Oh, Lee is wonderful. Yeah.
And they, all these sixth grade students, had studied the Holocaust. And they asked her, do you know of anybody, what happened to children in other countries? And she asked me to go in and talk with these children.
Wonderful.
And I had 4 sixth grade classes. And those children absolutely blew me away. Not just when we were there, but the letters they wrote afterwards. It wasn't, oh, dear Dr. K, thank you for being here. You know, it was, I knew they got it. And I told them what it was like to be in the Blitz, what it was like to be homeless and hungry with rations and never knowing what the future would be and being taken away and sent, all that stuff. Yeah. And then, you'll love this bit, then I said to them, so what modern literature do you think I respond to?
Mm.
Harry Potter.
Yes.
They all got it.
Yes.
And I had Hermione's wand with me. And I took it and I gave it to them. And I said, now pass it around the class and just silently say to yourself something you would like in your life.
Beautiful.
And it was amazing. I mean, Lee said she hasn't seen them sit so transfixed.
Sure.
For a long time. Because, you know, one boy wrote to me, he said, you know, it was so wonderful to hear somebody who'd actually lived that and not through a book or a video.
Yeah.
And I was very, very touched with these children. And one child wrote, she said, when I went to have lunch today, I was very careful and only took what I knew I would eat.
Oh, how beautiful.
So they got it. And don't you believe, and I know Lisa does, but don't you believe that children get it?
Oh, absolutely they get it. Because they have not created all the walls that our society and culture demand that we create for survival.
Yep. Well, I would certainly love to be at one of your round tables, as I call them. I don't know what you call them.
Yeah, that exactly what we call it. I'm writing myself a note right now, so that we create one with you.
That would be delightful.
How about we get Miss Lisa to involved in that too?
Absolutely. She would love that. She would absolutely love that.
Fantastic.
And her books are just beautiful. In fact, I AJ and Ashley were here yesterday with my great granddaughter. I don't see her very often because they're working, you know how that is. And I told them that I was going to get all her books and have them for Christmas.
Beautiful, beautiful.
So among a lot of Harry Potter stuff for her, of course.
I love it. I love it.
They're great.
Thank you so much, my friend. I love being with you.
Well, I have enjoyed it enormously, and I will call Sandra later to see where I can actually get that hug. He's a great hugger.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of hugs. We got hugs in reserve.
So please give your information out again now, Tom, so people know where to find you.
So the website is www.thomstecher.com. TomStecher.com.
Right. And everything's on it. Phone numbers, emails, website, the lot.
Everything that I know to put on there is on there.
I hear you. So I'm so, so happy that you had time to spare today. I mean, this has been remarkable. And it's as if I never left your side.
I love being with you, my friend. Love it.
And all those wonderful workshops that we did together, they're still relevant today, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's human teaching for human learning.
There you go. And teachers need us more than ever, I think, yes. These days.
Yes, they do.
And Daniel, who also has a special needs son, more like your younger son, and he's a creative genius, this 17-year-old.
Wow.
And he is going to be very happy when his father is no longer on the school board.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he sees him come home so frustrated. In fact, I interviewed Daniel. I'll have to tell you when Lisa puts it up so you can hear what's going on with him right now, which is pretty extraordinary.
I'd love to. I'd love to hear it. Love it.
Good. Well, give my love to everybody, please. And thank you again. Keep up the good work, and to all your staff and everybody. And Abby had been in touch with me briefly, and I'm sure she will be again.
I'm glad.
I will look forward to that. And I will see you very soon, my friend.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.